Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. I'm your host, Greg Stein, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. And with me is Mike Enstein, and he's become a regular on these podcasts and on the videos. And I'm glad that he's here with us today. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
It's going to be... It's going to be a Lulu today, and but I believe it's like the third or fourth time that you've been on these, and first time was when we talked about anxieties, and then with Richard, and then maybe it's your third time, but I'm glad that he's with me, always gives wonderful insight on the Word of God, and we go back and forth with that, and I enjoy that. I'd like for you to share these videos if you could, and don't turn us off quite yet. But let's reach 1,000 followers by the end of this year, and I need your help to do that for Devotions from Calvary, my Facebook page. And so that would be wonderful if you could help me out. Now, we're going to talk about a couple different subjects today. Was that mine or yours? We got a phone going off. A couple different subjects that I think we sometimes feel that they are either interchangeable or they're in unison. There's no difference between them. And these two subjects would be confession and repentance. And confession, you know, we've got to ask a question. We always have to ask questions. What is it? When do we do it? And even maybe we can talk about who do we confess to, because there are different practices and religions that do not necessarily believe in straight confession to the Lord.
Right.
And then we have repentance. And is this the same as confession? Do they complement one another, or does one affect the other? And I think that we can hopefully discover the truth in this, help you as a Christian in your walk, really to see, well, wait a minute, I've only been confessing, and I've not been repenting. I think confession, we find ourselves more times in the confession room, I guess, in a sense, when we don't repent.
Right.
So that's something to think about. Now, there are several verses that I think Scripture kind of reveals both of these, repentance and confession. And David is one of my favorite ones when we talk about a man that has been found out in sin, or he, in Scripture, I don't know, Mike, if there is more sin that is not mentioned in David's life. We talk about just the two basic ones, Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah.
Right.
But I wonder how many others.
Oh, I'm sure there were. If he's anything like us.
You know, he dealt with the same temptation, so I'm sure that there was a number of different sins that he had. And, you know, some of them that we would read in Psalms, I think some of them, especially chapter 32 and chapter 51, deal with his sin with Bathsheba, and then his murder and so on, and holding it in. But I think there's other ones that even that we find in Psalm 40. We're going to read that here in a little bit. That it may have not have been anything to do with the sin of Bathsheba, but in his own personal life. And one of them is in Psalm 32. Verse 2, blessed is a man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and where in whose spirit there is no guile. So there's an element of change when there's confession.
Yes, I'd agree.
So, I mean, where... He said that blessed or joyful or happy is this individual to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, or to add that sin to him, but removes that sin, and to whose spirit there is no guile. One of the, and certainly that chapter 32 is a detailed confession of Bathsheba and of what Nathan the prophet had revealed in his life, which he tried to hide, he tried to cover up, he tried to walk away. And we do that many times.
Yes.
And we'll try to just conceal it, forget about it. Hopefully the feelings would go away and everybody would just forget about it too.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. That's I think that's our nature is to is to like walking away from your sin is not natural to us.
Correct.
It's correct. Not, it's not natural for us as humans to want to turn. And so, and even more so, confess and repent.
Right. So our natural tendency, I think there's regret. I think we deal more with a regret. And when that regret vanishes or settles down, we go back to it.
Right.
And not coming for confession. And you might confess, but then again, you may not repent.
Correct. Yes.
So that leads back to this particular, the difference between the two. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. So there's a lot going on in that verse. David certainly had a cry. He had a prayer that he had given to the Lord. He waited patiently for the answer. He waited patiently for God to reveal himself to him. When he did, David understood that he brought him up out of that horrible pit. Whatever that pit was, whatever that sin was, whatever that situation was, David himself could not get out of it. And he had to call out on the Lord in that. And with that, the Lord kind of, he given him a new direction. Now, whether David follows through with that, that's the choice or the free will of man, where we have the choice to follow in the direction of God or not. And if David would have turned opposite of where God wanted him to go, he'd have fell back in a pit.
Right. Yeah. When I read that, it makes me wonder if he's anything like me. How many times can we say, well, he brought me out of that pit. He brought me out of that pit.
Right.
Brought me out of that pit.
Your life looks like a bunch of gopher holes in the back, you know?
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
And certainly we fall into those things, but how do we keep from that? And so we want to look at confession. We want to look at repentance. And I think what David reveals here, especially in Psalm 51:10, when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. These confessions that David has given, I see in them also a desire for a repentance, for a renewal of his life, a new direction in his life. The Lord establishes goings in Psalm 41. He wanted a new and clean and right spirit in Psalm 50. And I think that David knew that in his life, in his own direction, his desires, he knew that he could not fulfill that direction on his own, because in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and then see if there be any wicked way in me, that tendency of sin that is always there. He says, I want you to reveal that to me, because I don't want to follow through with those tendencies. And then he says, lead me in the way everlasting. So back in Psalm 40 and then in Psalm 139, there is a desire for a new direction. I need to remove myself from what I'm doing.
Right.
So those, you see, the two elements in both of those, right?
Yes. Yeah, I see that. Especially, I like Psalm 51:10, because I think that's just hitting the nail on the head, where he's covering both right there. Where he says, create in me a clean heart, that's his confession. And, we're assuming to say create a clean heart means my heart's not clean. right now. Right. And so I want that. And then, but he doesn't stop there where, and then when he goes on and says, renew a right spirit within me, I'd say that's following repentance.
Okay. So let's define the two. Because yeah. I know, so we're seeing these in these particular verses. And so we look at confession, and you said it last night, I think, during either one of our talks or even during our Bible study. But tell them what confession is.
Confession is, to me, confession, I would define it as an acknowledgement of your sin and wrongdoing, and basically talking to God and saying, you know, what I did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where we confess that this is against what you say. And I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm.
So there's a true admittance of your transgression.
Right.
And our downfall as a Christian, where we confess. So that confession is an acknowledgement, an admittance, and of our state at that point, our state in sin. I know what Paul said in Romans chapter number 10, where he said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That confession is an admittance on two different things. It's an admittance on my position as a sinner, realizing that I am a sinner, but then also Christ's position as the one who can forgive sins.
Right.
And with that, so there's a confession of you know, finding ourselves guilty, but then there's also the confession of knowing the one who can remove that guilt from us. And I think that's what David was talking about in Psalm 51, to remove that guilt, to remove that sin, create in me a clean heart, remove it from me. Even 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So if we stop there, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that there is, in essence,
yes,
absolute forgiveness.
Right.
And with that confession, there is a process in that particular verse. There's a process. Even David, way before, you know, John had written it down, David knew that there was a process that only God can do.
Right.
That cleansing power. And when that confession is in, like, 1 John 1:9, it's that acknowledgement of, do you ever have to stand back and look at something to see the full picture?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've got to stand back. I've got to assess the problem. I got to look at the picture, and to where I can see the whole thing. And I don't know how many times, you know, like we were on Marketplace and you were showing that picture of that credenza. And then if you look on it, it shows, you know, most of it, but their sides sometimes, unless you tap on it, you won't see the whole thing, but when you tap on it, it brings the whole picture up.
Right.
And then you can assess it. Well, when you look at confession, it means really to step back and stand on another side, and that side is on the side of Christ and looking at your sin.
Yes. Very well put.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
You know, you look at it, you look at your sin on the side of Christ, and with that confession, it's an agreement that, yes, I was absolutely wrong. I transgressed, I sinned, I've committed an act against the will of God in my life, and now I see it as you do. And so there's that acknowledgement. And when we acknowledge that is sin in our life, having a desire to, as David said, create me a clean heart, God promises that he will do that.
Right. And then this is a segue into the second half of that.
Yeah.
Is the issue that I think plagues a lot, and I mean a lot of people now, and that is they stop there.
Absolutely.
And we say, oh, this is wrong, you know. And so we say, well, you know, sorry, you know, sorry, I know I shouldn't have done that, but
right.
but I did. And so then we go on about our life, and there's a sense sometimes of well, you know, that was easy. You know,
right.
And so they think, well, I just, you know, confess my sin. And, you know, they may read like a John 1:9 mm-hmm. and just, okay, I'm stopping right there.
Right.
And
do you think there's a lack of preaching on the next step? So the next step, and we'll kind of go back and forth on both of these subjects. The next step is repentance.
Yes. Repentance is the big one to me.
That's the harder one.
I think I was thinking about this last night, and I was trying to figure out.
You got an analogy?
I don't know about an analogy, but but just a thought or a question, I guess. We know you can have confession without repentance. Mm-hmm. Can you have repentance without confession?
And I would say no. You cannot have
right.
one. You can have one, which would be the initial step.
Right.
But you cannot have the second step without the initial.
Right. And then, you know, so now we have it to where we know you can confess without repentance.
Right. Right.
But confession without repentance, is that empty?
That's a good question. If we practice 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, and God is always faithful, he never says, I will not forgive you when we come to him. But should there be an element of repentance in that in order for God to fulfill his faithfulness in cleansing us from all unrighteousness? So I think that's a good, hard, deep question to where, if I confess without repentance is an absolute turning away, removing ourselves from the sin. All right. It has nothing to do with the forgiveness of it. That is confession. Repentance is the removing of ourselves from that which we just confessed, that which we just been forgiven for, to eliminate the opportunity and the process of keep going in that sin. So if that heart element of I want to turn is not there during the time of confession, does confession take place? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Is it word salad or is it a true heart thing?
Right.
And then you can go in different levels with this too, in that this is also different for a believer and a non-believer. Mm-hmm. Usually you're going to get some sort of a confession type prayer mm-hmm. from a non-believer, but it's usually when they're in trouble.
Right. You know? Right. We call them like more like a jailhouse confession or jailhouse right. salvation or something, to where if you get me out of here, you know, there's a, you know,
I'll be there every Sunday. I will never miss.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do that. They I've been there. Not that I've been in jail and did that, but I mean, I've been with those in jail that have come to me and had even had said that. But so that's a good question, though. Like, okay, if I'm going to confess God, if I committed a sin, I'm coming to God. I know that it was wrong. I acknowledge it was wrong. And I see through his eyes that it's wrong. But on the other side, even as the book of Hebrews says, that sin does have pleasure for a season. So you cannot deny that sin has its pleasure. All right. It fulfills our flesh, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you are engaged in. If it fulfills the flesh and it's against God's word, then that's sin. So if I have no desire to turn from it, but yet I want to relieve myself from the pressure of guilt.
Right.
And I think, well, if I just confess and relieve myself from the pressure of guilt at this time, but yet I'm going to probably go back to it later on.
Right. And so then you say, okay, now was that a true confession or
that's quite, I mean, you know, can you confess? All right. And you all might be able to comment on this on Facebook. Can you confess without having the element of repentance? Now, I'm under the belief that I'm not, you know, that's a good question. I have to ponder on that. I've never really kind of thought about that because we are in such a mode of confessing, and then that's it. Like you said, we never really take the second step to initially remove ourselves from the sin.
Right. And so, and that's, and you're right. It is, it's touchy because then you go, okay, so if I confess, obviously, I think we can agree that if a non-believer is in trouble for something and they want to get out of that trouble and, oh, if you, you know, they may pray and say, God, if you get me out of this, you know,
right,
I'll do this or I'll stop doing this, fully knowing they're not going to stop doing that. They just want to get out of the consequence of their action.
Right, right.
But you do have true believers who can fall in to repetitive sin.
Absolutely.
You know, there are addictions. There are all sorts of things that people can fall into. And I think, for me, what I think of is what separates those would be the heart at the confession. Am I confessing
right
because I'm like, what, you know, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to, you know, I really got myself in a bind this time.
Right.
And then the other is when a Christian is caught up in some sort of repetitive sin or addiction, there is a true aching heart of your sin. And it usually, I know for me, it's why can't I stop?
Right, right. I think, I don't know the address in the Bible, but it's 2 Corinthians. The church there, they were dealing with a lot of sin, and there was a wonderful confession in the church that Paul was hoping and praying for, and they did that, and there was evidence of that. And I think there ought to be an evidence of our confession, which would be the repentance. That would be the evidence of being sorry and regretting having that the thumb of God. Even what David said, that, you know, he couldn't sleep, his bones ached, the joy was gone, and you know, there was no sleep. So I mean, there's a thumb of God's pressure on our life when we're convicted, and it confessing, you know, our sin. Certainly, I believe repentance has to be married to that.
Yeah.
And you know, as Paul said, for with the heart man believeth. So there has to be the element in the heart, I don't want to do this again. However, we also know our weaknesses. We also know that I do have the tendencies to fall into that, or 3 weeks later be tempted of it again. Whatever the subject is in your life, there are countless subjects. You know, Paul tried to name some, and then he said, and such like, he said, there's more than I could even name. And some of you may not even be dealing with that, but there's other things that you're dealing with.
Right.
And so I think that's why David said, you know, I need you to establish my goings, and I need you to walk with me in this, because I will have a tendency in a short time to turn back around and get back into that pit. So confession, okay, so Scripture says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, that he, meaning Christ, so it gives us the understanding that I am confessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for my sin, the one who saved me from my sin, the one who shed his blood for my sin. So therefore, I'm coming to him to ask forgiveness and to cleanse me once again. Now, we are justified, we are redeemed, we are saved through the blood of Christ, but it's still his blood that is continually applied when we come to him. We are cleansed once again. So we know that we come to the Lord Jesus, right?
Yes.
Now, in the book of James, James says that we ought to confess our faults one to another. So the question is, and there is in that verse the element of confessing to a priest.
Right.
That is a verse that is used to talk about that or to support that, basically saying that the priest has received the power. There's another verse that whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins are not, they are not. And that was given to the apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that verse and James, they're basically saying that the priest has the power to forgive sins, or in the mediator of Christ, forgive sins, because Christ gave the apostles the power to forgive sins. Or the question is, did he give them that power?
Right.
If that verse doesn't mean that he gave them the power, what does that verse mean? Do you know?
Well, for me, I can just say it's no different than you on Sunday, calling for a salvation in a situation where we are called to, like, we can't forgive sins, but we can lead people to where they can get their sins forgiven.
So here, and you are, as they would say in Great Britain, spot on. John 20:23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That is a verse that is used to initiate or to support where the priests have the power to forgive sins. And they'll use the mediation between God and man, as the priests were in the Old Testament. And then they'll use James, I think it's in chapter 4, where confess your faults one to another. So what you were saying is exactly what Jesus was getting across, that you are out there, I'm giving you the power to preach sinfulness and preach the repentance of sin, and with that, giving that message that they have the opportunity and choice to either repent or not.
Right.
And like you said, just like any preacher get up and tell you the facts and the destiny or the results, that if you do or if you don't, here's what it is. These are just, and I think that's what, and it's not that I think, that's what that is what Jesus is telling them. He is not telling them that they had the power to forgive sins, because only Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sins.
Right.
So when we talk about James, confess your faults one to another, what does that mean?
For me, that is some great wisdom, for one, because I think it is good for us to have what I think we more commonly call an accountability partner.
Yep. I agree.
That would be a huge help, and so for me, just looking at that, sometimes things like that just blow me away, that even way back then,
right,
things are being presented that,
and they were saved Jewish Christians dealing with a lot of other things in their life, and James inserts that. And I think what you said is absolutely, again, spot on, where there is an accountability. There is where I come to you and I say, Brother Mike, I said, I am dealing with this. I am weak in it. I fall into it. I've asked God to help me, and I need to tell you because I need your help in this. I want you to walk with me in this. I need to lean on you when I'm tempted. I'm gonna have to call you or text you or let you know that I am in a struggle right now, and I need you to pray for me.
Right.
And I think that's exactly what he was saying. Even if, like in Galatians 6:1, where if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness, and knowing that you also have the ability to fall in to that same sin. But there again, there's that accountability. There's that desire to, you know, to lift up a brother, but then to help them through that and strengthen them in that. So when we talk about confession, there's only one person to go to. When you want your sins forgiven and your sins cleansed and your life clean, as David said, there's only one person to go to.
Right.
That's the Lord.
And just a little add-on to that.
Absolutely.
Is, if you notice, I mean, everybody knows that we're, what we associate confession with in that sense of to somebody else,
right,
for the forgiveness of sins.
Right. You can't forgive me.
What's that?
As far as in James?
I'm kind of leaning towards, if you need to know whether, let's just say, if you need to know whether, it's such a long thing. You know what I mean? You start getting these branches going. If you, all right, let's say I go, we'll just say, let's go to a Catholic church.
Okay.
And we're going to go in and we're going to go to the confessional. Typically, the priest does not say, okay, you're good. Usually there's something attached to that.
Well, they will say that I absolve you of your sins, and then they will add on the act of contrition.
X amount of Hail Marys.
Right. There is, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head right now, but there is an element where you have to fulfill these things in order for the confession and through that a repentance to take place. That's I can't think of the name of it. That's going to bother me today.
If you can't think of it, I'm not going to be able to think of it.
but they do say, you know, I absolve you of your sins, taking the place of Christ, saying that your sins are forgiven. Now, you know, as far as your act of contrition, you are to say the Hail Marys, Our Fathers, right. Glory Bees.
So, and if you've been watching the podcast, you know that there has been talks about works salvation.
Right.
And so this falls right back into that to me. For me, that just looks, I see that and immediately go, okay, that's works salvation.
Correct.
Because if I need to do this and I need to do this in order for this to take place,
right,
to have forgiveness, that should throw a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you listen to Devotions from Calvary.
There you go. Plug in. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. I was thinking about this earlier. These are sparkling waters, okay? Just so you know. LaCroix. Or LaCroix. The Crocs. Whatever it is. Just so you know. But then, okay, so now we want to make clear that when we come to the Lord in 1 John 1:9 and make confession, because we were saying that there ought to be an element of repentance with that. I think when we talk about that with a heart, that's going to be there. With that, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this again. Lord, forgive me. Help me to stay away from this. I believe that would be that God says, I know your heart. And God does know your heart. And he knows that if you are confessing just to remove a guilt process in your life, or you're confessing because you know it's wrong and you don't want to do it again, you don't want to fall into that. so we got to be careful that, you know, when we talked about, you know, confessing to a priest, and then they give you these, the penance that they have to fulfill after that, in order for everything to take place. When we come to God, there's that heart desire to be forgiven and help me not to fall into that again. That's all combined. Mm-hmm. And God says, I'll forgive you.
Right.
And with that, then we, then that repentance should be in our life to try to avoid,
right,
go another direction. Even what John said, or who said it, Paul, make no provision for the flesh, you know, to rid yourself of anything that would bring you back into that direction. And then that accountability partner. But so there's a lot when we talk about repentance and forgiveness and confession. But you cannot repent until you confess.
Right. And the other thing, too, that this hit me just now, but I've seen this tons of times online, and this is Christians asking, you know, they'll do things where you can send in a question, and, you know, there might be somebody who has a YouTube channel or something, and they'll say, yeah, we'll cover some of your questions. I see it all the time. I am a Christian, but I am in repetitive sin. What do I do?
Okay.
And something that hits me when I think of that is, because, I mean, we've all been there. We've all been there in something that just keeps coming back and mm-hmm. coming back. And every time, you know, it never fails, you say, how many times am I going to have to go through this and ask for repentance or ask for forgiveness?
Right.
And, you know, and then I think back to where, you know, they say, how many times should I forgive my brother? Mm-hmm. Seven.
Right.
And he says 70 times seven, which I think is fancy speak for as many times as it takes,
right,
as opposed to, okay, so we're at
367. I've got that minus 449.
Right. So
like 490, I guess.
So that is the thing too. And I feel also that you can have confession and repentance on the same thing over and over.
I think you can too. The whole point of repentance is to lessen that repetitive sin and to space it out to where it no longer becomes a temptation, and then eventually it's no longer a part of your life.
Right.
You know, even Scripture says that, you know, sin upon sin and sin upon sin. So it's a repetitive sin. So, I mean, one of the questions I would ask, I mean, when you confess to the Lord, if you come to the Lord, this has been in your life, you have been dealing with this, you confess, are you really desiring to get it out of your life?
Right.
You know, or do you, you know, you still have it, you know, in the back of your mind that I'm going to go back to it? You know, there needs to be an element of proof or evidence that you are desiring with God's help.
Right.
To separate yourself through that.
Like, let's say, for instance, you are, say you fall back into a habit of alcohol. Uh-huh. I feel like even if you confess and you repent on Monday, and on Wednesday, on your way home, you make it a point to go out of your way to not go by the bar.
Correct.
I feel like that's an act of repentance.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean that on Friday you're not going to fall into that and stop at the bar again, but there is at least something there that shows.
Right. There's that heart desire. I don't want, if I go that way, I know my flesh. I know my weakness. So I'm going to avoid that. And then Satan comes and he tempts you again. It's been a hard day. It's been a hard week. It's been hot, whatever the case may be.
Right. Everybody else wants to go, and
right, and so therefore that pressure whether, you know, the inward pressure as a, and with coupled with the outward pressure, you go into it again. And so then you, you know, you're right back there at the throne of grace, asking God to help, asking God forgiveness. And then the hope would be that it's not now 4 days now. Praise the Lord, I haven't, you know, been there for now a week and a half.
Right.
You know, there's a just a continual separation. There's a strengthening. There's where you need that accountability partner. I need your help in this. And I'm not saying every sin in your life you have to have an accountability partner. But with certain sins that, as Mike said, you're very repetitive and you know that you are weak in it, I think it's an excellent, excellent idea for you to have an accountability partner. One that will just hold the hand through that. Years ago, I had a friend of mine that that was dealing with pornography, and you know, I would have never had the inkling of that, but he had called me. This was a number of years ago, and called me up, shared with me what was going on. And I became one of three accountability partners. He did not want, in matter of fact, his marriage was on the line. The ministry was no longer available that he was in, and it was kind of out in the open. And so he did not want. He was going through counseling and, you know, trying to get this out of his life, but he did call me and two other men to be an accountability partner, to where we would call here and there, or he would call and just help him walk through this. And
asking for an accountability partner in itself is repentance.
Absolutely.
Because that is a turning away.
That is
a desire. Right. The unregenerate heart will not want to turn away.
Correct.
They won't make the steps necessary to try to get away from it.
Well, you have to think that the unregenerate heart, or the unsaved man, doesn't see sin as the man that is saved sees sin. So there's a totally different lifestyle that I don't see anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with, you know, doing this or saying this or acting this way or however, whatever the case may be, because the spirit is not within them, and how they view sin is normal in the natural man.
Right.
So when you're saved, you see sin a whole different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're in repetitive sin that you can't get out of, and even if you keep falling back into it, but you also see that repentance and you see, notice yourself doing that,
right,
taking steps to try to turn away from it, that does a lot to your spirit.
Absolutely.
And it is a real comfort when you're in the middle of that. I had years and years ago, I had a pretty bad drinking problem. Mm-hmm. And I can look back on it and tell where I was. There was a period of time there where it was just kind of like, well, that's what I do. And that's who I am.
Right.
And then to see that transition I guess a better example would be smoking, because I was a smoker for 18 years.
Yeah.
And I quit cold turkey. And when I quit cold turkey, there was something about it, because I knew it wasn't right. I'd said for years.
So there was always a conviction.
Right. For a while there wasn't. I didn't really feel like I was doing anything wrong, per se.
Right.
But then I did. And when I did, I said, you know, I got to do something about this. And it wasn't right away. It wasn't, oh, I feel conviction. And right, being that I'm so holy, I will just quit. It wasn't like that. It was, I mean, it was time and, you know, dropping it and picking it back up, dropping it and picking it back up, that sort
right,
of thing.
Right.
But every time,
and that's your spirit fighting with your flesh,
right? And so then finally, the last time, I quit cold turkey, And I had a friend who I always visited, and he's a heavy smoker. And go over to his house, and he's like, "Hey, you know, you want one?" And it's, and I remember the first time I said, "Oh no, that I don't smoke anymore." And for me, that was like, "Wait a minute," you know.
Huh.
And I never picked it back. It's been 8 years, I think.
Really?
So yeah, I smoked most of my adult life, and Lord willing, I'll
never go back.
Live more life.
Amen.
Live more more years than that without smoking.
Well, and you know, there are a lot of testimonies of individuals that have dealt with a repetitive sin, and you know, felt that struggle. You wake up in the morning, and that's the first thing on your mind. You know that you need to overcome that. And some of the sins are habitual in the sense of certain times of the day, certain times of the night that you would, you know, become involved in this, or on the weekends or whatever. And until you overcome that, the mental, because, you know, even what Paul said, you know, I find a law or a war inside my members, and you know, with my mind, I want to serve the Lord, but with my flesh, or you know, I serve sin, and so there is that struggle. There is that mind where I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what's right, but then my flesh says, "No, you don't."
Right. Well, you always turn to Paul for wisdom and things like that out of the Bible, and he was the one that said, "I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I should do."
Yeah. Yeah. the 8-9 verses of a tongue twister that he gives, and that is Paul's testimony. That's not some random individual that he kind of gives an example of. That is his testimony, even as an apostle, that no matter where you are spiritually, you are, as long as you're breathing, you're still going to fight the flesh.
Right.
And when you do, and you give in to the flesh, then we thank God that we do have the avenue to come right to Him, confess with a heart that knows and that desires it, not only to be cleansed, but a desire to not to involve yourself in it again, or to Lord, keep my mouth from speaking things that it shouldn't. My anger, okay, you know, when we talk about, you know, certain sins, and you know, we think about the smoking, drinking, pornography, different things that are these major things. But you know, you could be, you know, one that your tongue is a problem. You know, you're a gossiper, or you know, your anger is impatience, and all of these different things can be a problem in repetition. And so, when we come to the Lord, I think that with that heart desire to turn from, as that element, that seed that's there, that God says, "I will absolutely forgive you." And even as he told the woman there that was caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more." And that was God saying, "I want you to repent of what you had just been involved in for all of your life. Now repent of it. Turn away from it. Don't sin anymore." And whether she did or not, I the Bible doesn't say, but I'd imagine that she started off well after that. Whatever took place years down the road, we don't know. But there's that desire even for God to tell us, "Yes, I'm going to forgive you, and now repent of this. Don't sin anymore." And so there is a difference between the two.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and the other thing about that, I've heard pastors that have said that verse where they says sin no more, and they'll say, you know, well, that means we shouldn't have sin in our life. Which, if that's the case, then I feel like if you are listening to this and you're saying, geez, you know, these guys deal with all this stuff, whatever. You might want to consider confession and
exactly
confession and repentance for, you know, pride and for lying. <'Cause>,
oh, all right. Well, we're gonna end this video. My light is starting to blink. That means it's about going to shut off on me. But thanks for joining us today. And confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. Get an accountability partner, and let's turn and walk from away from our sin as David desired for God to establish a new way, new goings in his life. All right? This is Greg Sankey, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. Thanks for joining me, 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio. Join me on my Facebook page, Devotions from Calvary. Like and share them. Subscribe to the page. Be notified each time we're on the air. If you have any questions, please email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com and be happy to answer them accordingly. I appreciate Brother Mike being with us today, and he'll be here periodically, and I enjoy his conversation. But, hey, I hope to see you here at the church sometime or see you online. Lord bless you.